Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's 7:04 on a Monday morning. My name is Steak. That's Drew Butler. This is The Steakhouse. Thanks so much for being with us. We got a few hours together. We're in for the morning shift. Don't be alarmed. I have no intention of getting up at 4:30 for the next 5-10 years of my life. Nor was I asked to. I did it for a long time. It'll take some years off your life.
God bless you, man.
Yeah, a lot of years.
4:05 alarm came quick this morning.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I jumped out of bed. Wakey, wakey. Eggs and bakey.
Wakey, wakey. I get to work with Steaky, Steaky. So you're
I
over
like
here.
That.
Yes, indeed. And Sandra will be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Russell will be here Friday. We'll do what we do on our show. We'll buy or sell later in the week. We'll do Atlanta Eats on radio. We'll do Three Strikes. We'll belly up to the bar. Things I land. We'll do tailgate. All the different things that you get used to. And then A new iteration, I guess, on some level of the show coming up next Monday. Is that right? Next Monday. Can't tell you too much, but most of your favorite voices will be rocking and rolling, right?
Yeah, that'll be the plan. And we'll have a special surprise for you as far as a new member goes, but we can't get too deep into that quite
yet. Wow. A new member of the morning shift. And Bo is a daddy at some point very, very soon. Young Pork Chop will rear her ugly head or her beautiful head.
Beautiful head.
At some point coming up as well.
Speaking of Atlanta Eats on radio, my sister-in-law, Nicole, she's a massive Atlanta Eats fan.
Yeah.
I've told you this a lot of times. Her fiance's birthday is tomorrow. So we celebrated with the family last night, just, you know, fun little family dinner. But they went to Bully Boy.
Bully Boy, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, how'd you hear about that place? She said, Steak, Atlanta Eats. And they said it was really good. Bully Boy is in, it's right next to Two Urban Licks.
Okay, I was going to say it's in town. Yeah, so, yeah, it must have been one of our blogs, because I haven't been, but I know we put out a lot of stuff on Fresh Places. The hot place right now that my wife's in love with is that Del Bar in Buckhead. That's a scene, kiddos.
There's one right now for Reddit, too.
Yeah, the Del Bar Buckhead is like old school Buckhead dining. The outer patio and terrace
Sick.
Is spectacular. It is a CNB scene kind of vibe. Mediterranean food is very hot these days. So, yes, on occasion, folks are like, what's the cool restaurant? It's like, dude, I got three kids. I live in, like, Brookhaven. I'm not that cool, you know? The cool restaurants are more closer to town. But this is one of those old-school Buckhead restaurants. So, just a little tidbit out there as well. Interesting weekend yesterday. The rain comes. Everybody kind of escapes. Probably watches Connecticut and South Carolina as UConn absolutely overwhelmed. It's only a 6-point favorite last night, and they win that game absolutely going away. Another national title for Gino Auriemma. Obviously, you lose Juju Watkins for UCLA, which really took away from what would have been a special matchup because they beat Connecticut earlier in the year. So that happens. Obviously, the Florida Gators and Houston, I'm pretty good about point spreads. And I was thinking before I looked, is like, gee, I wonder what that number is going to be. Florida has got a lot of juice, but maybe the most talented team of the four that are there. But Houston, a resilient team, finds a way to come back against Duke. Duke led with, I'm trying to see all the different numbers. I think they led by 9 with 3 minutes left.
Yeah, I saw 11 with 2.5 minutes left. And CBS gets a big number over the weekend as well. Most watched Final Four since 2017, the network averaged 15.3 million viewers across Saturday's games. I thought the start to the Auburn-Florida game was great. Haymakers back and forth, kind of settled in around halftime, coming out into the second half, and then Florida did what Florida does late in the game and just put it away.
Dude, Walter Clayton is just
total stud.
He's a March Madness friggin' superstar. Walter Clayton Jr. is just ridiculous. A totally dominant player. We got a ton of Florida fans that listen to this show. A bunch of them headed to San Antonio. A huge win for the Gators. And then the epic collapse of Duke. They led by 9 with 2:08 left.
Oh.
So think about all the Duke money, right? All the fancy pants folks that go to Duke, have that Duke education, titans of industry, incredible alumni base, all assuming that they're going to Monday night. They poured in a lot of money to pay for these kids. Did you see the Wall Street Journal article about the dark money that goes into Duke basketball?
No, I'd love to see that.
Cover of the Wall Street Journal, an entire article about this fund that is set up to funnel money into the Duke basketball program, and that while there's a name attached, there's a name of the fund, there's no names attached to it, meaning none of these guys want to be associated with how much money they're putting in there, but it is a slush fund of sorts that is not as public as other groups. Are you looking at it now?
Yeah, the One Vision Futures Fund.
Yeah, which basically, cover of the Wall Street Journal, talks about how much money of secret folks are putting into that program. Well, anyway, when you have a chance to get to a national title, when you lead by 9 with 2:09 left, John Shire, coach of the Blue Devils, knows they just had to finish the deal.
I feel we were one of one in terms of the way we put this thing together. It's been a magical ride. We believed with everything we had, we were going to win a championship here. And I feel for them because they're competitive and they're going to think about plays. I didn't help them enough. And that's where my mind goes. And I couldn't be more proud of them, though. You got it. This is part of it. This is part of it, unfortunately. You know, we haven't been in a lot of those games. And we've watched a lot of game situations and practiced, and that's where I wish I could have helped them more.
That's the brutal reality of high-profile sports, is that only one team has the end to the season that they desire. I mean, Bruce Pearl and Auburn had an unbelievable season. Didn't happen.
No.
John Shire, Duke, Cooper Flagg, all the talent that they had, up by 9, 2 minutes left, didn't happen. Only one team, Florida or Houston, will be able to cut down the nets tonight. And as John Shire said, you know, I liked what he said, taking the blame. I didn't do enough.
You know, when you're a coach and you blow a lead like that, you're absolutely going to blame yourself. Yeah. What could we have run differently? Where did I let it get away? Here he is talking about what went wrong, because something did go wrong as they blow that lead and Duke's not in the national title.
Well, it's hard to process still. And, you know, I thought our guys did an incredible job the whole game. And, you know, I thought we had some good looks, didn't finish. You have to give Houston a ton of credit. And then still, even with that, you know, we have the lead, you know, with under a minute to go. And I couldn't be more proud. I'm not about to hang our head. Right, I mean, this is part of it.
We get it. But, again, you're down. You're up 6. They make a 3, and then the biggest play of the game, they steal the inbounds, and they get it to 1, and then you miss the foul shot, and now they have the lead.
Well, I'm very critical of officials across all sports. I thought the call on Cooper Flagg when he was trying to rebound off the free throw, he didn't even touch the guy. That was a horrible and highly consequential call.
You don't have to make that call.
Absolutely not.
I mean, let him play. I mean, dude, let the game come down to somebody making
a shot. And Raft said that, and Grant Hill said that, and Ian Eagle were like, you got to let him play. That is a horrible call because of how consequential
it was.
Yeah, you
don't need to, unless somebody gets absolutely mauled on that rebound.
He didn't even touch him.
Let Houston go down.
Sorry, he's 6'8 and got a long reach. I mean, he reached around the guy, didn't even impede what he was trying to do. There was hardly any contact, if any, at all.
Let him go down and make a field goal. Let Houston go make a shot. Don't put him on the line
like that.
On the other end of it, Cooper Flagg. Now, he had a chance to make a shot. They played pretty good D, but that's what Houston should have had to do.
Right.
On the other end, Kelvin Sampson, I guess, would be the oldest coach to win a national. What is he, at 69 years old? Here's Kelvin Sampson talking about what we already know. Houston's a tough basketball team.
I hear what people say. You know, Duke this, Duke that. Duke's great. John Shire is awesome. But don't sleep on Houston. Don't sleep on Houston. We weren't 34-4 playing in the Toy Poodle League. We were 19-1 in the Big 12. Playing in the Big 12 helped us. Shout out to my Big 12 brethren, Coach Brett Yermark, and all the great coaches in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, he shouted out everybody in the Big 12, including the commissioner. But Houston right now, he said it, don't sleep on Houston. On a nation-leading 18-game win streak, Stake, they are 35-4 overall. This is their first national championship game since 1984. Depending on where you look right now, I see Florida as a one-point favorite. You see a pick 'em, and the total, the over-under, is 140.5 points. What time is tip-off tonight? 10:05 p.m.
Probably what 9:20 or something. It'll be later than we.
It'll be late, man.
You got any thought, any feel for that, Houston?
I just think Florida's too deep, man. Walter Clayton Jr. This guy is made for the moment.
They have the size, right? Yeah. They are maybe not as tough. Houston's the toughest kids. Always are.
I mean, L.J. Cryer's been playing college basketball forever.
Yeah, L.J. Cryer had 6 threes the other day. Without him, they had no chance. I don't think you can count on Houston to shoot it that well in terms of a Cryer. Yeah, I kind of like Florida tonight. They've had a lot of great players from Hakeem Olajuwon, Elvin Hayes, to this version of it. But Houston has never won a national title, and I don't think they're going to win one
so
tonight.
So I have a question for all of our Florida listeners. If you do get to cut down the nets tonight, where does that rank in your daily bragging rights? Because I have cousins that went to Florida. All of a sudden, the cousins group chat starts going crazy on Saturday night. I'm like, okay.
Right. Now they're yapping.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. You know, I sent a bunch of gifts of Kirby Smart kissing the national championship football trophy.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this apples to apples? Where are the bragging rights? Where does that stand? Are Florida fans now going to talk down to Georgia Bulldogs because you might be the national champions in basketball?
So you root for Houston?
No, I think Florida's going to win.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not rooting for Florida, but yeah. I think they're going
to
win.
All right. We'll have more on that coming up. We're going to talk to we will talk about what happened to Duke basketball and the absolute possibility, which is slight to zero, that Cooper Flagg comes back. Our buddy Jason Evans, who has the number one Duke podcast in America, he'll join us later on. When we come back, lots to get to. Atlanta Braves, top of the list. A weekend that started so wonderful and now ended with a thud on Saturday and Sunday. We'll talk some Braves. Sports Radio 929 The Game.